This is the Character Strong Podcast, a weekly conversation for anyone in education. I'm your host, John Norlin. All right. I am so honored to welcome to the Character Strong Podcast, Jordan Blevins, school counselor at Pacific Law Academy in Stockton Unified School District, and congratulations, by the way, the 2025 California School Counselor of the Year, and not to mention also the chair of the Board of Directors for California Association of School Counselors. Can you say that five times fast, Jordan? No, just playing. Welcome.
Nope.
So glad that you're here. How are you doing today?
I am good, John. Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, and excited to have you. And I always just like to make sure to stay. I mean, I know that you are serving the work day in and day out, and you're probably stepping out of that to record this briefly to go right back into doing that. And so any time that you can give, we know that that time is precious. We also intentionally with our recordings try to keep them shorter for our listeners because our main listeners are educators. And you know that very well, whether that be a counselor, a school administrator, a classroom teacher, paraeducator, you name it, serving the work. And that's important. Our goal is to continue to bring forward even these shorter conversations that just keep planting the seed, that keep the conversations going. And so before we get into the main topic, we always like to start with a practical. And at Character Strong, we say at the core of our work, it's all about relationships. And I'd love it. Could you share, you know, a relational strategy that has been a go-to for you, right? Either working with students or staff over the years.
Of course. This is a very simple strategy and can be used in the schools, outside the schools, kids, adults, whatever. It's food or candy. I love having just a bowl of Jolly Ranchers on my table in my office. And the kids will, sometimes they'll just come in and like, I'm just here for a candy. See you later, Miss Jordan. And they'll like run out. And it just, I don't know why, but food and candy and any meetings I host, like if I host an advisory council meeting, I always have snacks. I have a drawer of snacks for my kids who play sports if they haven't eaten the whole day, because high schoolers sometimes like to not eat lunch. And I tell them, like, please don't go to practice without at least these peanut butter crackers that I have in my drawer. So that has really opened the door to even some of my more closed students who aren't super willing to share or willing to talk. I'm like, let's just come in. Do you want a candy? There's a bowl right here. Do you want, like, can I get you a water? You know, it just goes back to the, what is it? Maslow before Bloom.
Yeah.
So I feel like if they feel taken care of in that moment, and that can go for adults too, you know, if I go somewhere and there's snacks, I'm usually a little bit happier to be there. And so that has been my go-to. Yeah.
And you know what, just to name it, I love how you framed it. You know, it's really simple, but it's so interesting. Having done now hundreds of these podcast episodes, I love sometimes these are the gems. The gems are, we can talk about this strategy, that strategy. But you know what?
Yeah.
I love having a bowl of Jolly Ranchers on my desk. You know, I knew there was more than that you shared in your drawer or whatever else.
Yeah.
But it is a relational strategy, because behind what you're saying was lots of different examples of how that was either used to maybe start a conversation or something they can always count on. Or I even love this example you gave, the student who just stops by, I'm just here for a Jolly Rancher. But even how much value is in that short ongoing connection that happens for when
100%. You
know, all of those things. So just naming it, I love that. Love that that strategy was brought forward as a reminder, like, oh yeah, I used to do that. Or I don't have Jolly Ranchers on my desk. I could do that. And it cost me less than $5. And, you know,
exactly.
Different things. So great way to start. And now let's go into the main idea. And I know in the role that you're in, being recognized also, this is an important, you know, part of the role that you are playing, both in the work, but outside of that, right, we're working with and representing an incredible profession. So I'd love it if you could talk to us today about advocating for your role as a student mental health professional.
Of course. This is a part of one of the million things that a school counselor does that is really just I'm very passionate about is student mental health, and something that I've fought for a lot in my profession at my schools, and even more so now that I'm at this high school that I work at is a very high performing high school. And so the students are stressed all the time. So I feel like having that that underlying passion for student mental health is really beneficial for the students I'm directly working with. But also, even if I wasn't at a school like this, school counselors are a school-based mental health professional. And I feel like sometimes people don't know that fully, that we are often the first mental health professional that a student experiences in their life. Whether it's just for, you know, what classes should I choose if I want to be a veterinarian in my future, or my grandmother passed away last week, I need to talk about this. Literally a range of everything. And I truly believe that mental health and emotional well-being is at the foundation, because if a kid comes in from a chaotic morning that morning, or maybe a chaotic weekend, or just a stressful life in general, and we expect them to sit down and learn, it's probably not going to happen. And so having that foundation of solid mental health support through school counselors is just pivotal to their ability to learn and to see their future and to just hope for their future. And so, I just think that it's such an important thing for school counselors and other educators to know, is that school counselors are school-based mental health professionals, and they're integral to the campus.
Yeah, so well said. There's a couple things that really resonated as you were even sharing at the current school that you're at, and you know, real high performing school. And two things came to mind. One, you might have seen it, but there was a great old TED talk from Andrew Sokatch, who at the time I think was a senior researcher for the Character Lab, which was Dr. Angela Duckworth, and work that she was involved in. And he talked about these different settings where they had been doing some of their research. And one of them was at like one of the highest performing schools that was in this like state. And they talked about a lot of times in that case, right, what they experienced was they had fragile thoroughbreds, students who were go, 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 right? But at the first sign of adversity just would crumble.
Yes.
And I remember going into a high school and presenting a number of years ago, and the principal was so proud. They're kicking off the school year. It was a huge high school, like 4,000 students. So the staff was very large. And the principal was so excited and got everybody riled up at the beginning, saying, we're one of the top academic performing high schools in the state that they were in. And everyone was like standing, mm-hmm. right? And it was a great day. They were a wonderful staff. But I remember as we were leaving after 6 hours of leading a full day of professional development, it was a school counselor that came running down the hallway and said, hey, before you go, I just want you to know and be reminded of why the work we were talking about today matters so much. And they said, if you go back to the very beginning, we were getting all excited about that. They go, we like to talk about that a lot. We like to talk about a school that we're so high achieving. But what we don't like to share is some other stats. And the counselor started to share some of the other stats, including attempted suicides, and that was one of the highest rates in the state. And so I just think about sometimes, you know, people's paradigm may not be like, oh, that school, they got it all figured out together. And that's not true. That no matter where you are, right, when you think, as you were saying, mental health and well-being as foundational, it truly is. And I love saying to an adult, like, if your well-being wasn't doing well, if your mental health, if you were dysregulated because you got a major fight with your significant other or family, how ready would you be to learn right now for the next 6 hours sitting, listening to someone?
Exactly.
Not very.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, no. I mean, I'd love for you to just talk more about that and how you found ways to advocate for such an important thing.
I think that in California, we, as an association for school counselors, we have worked really hard at just constantly supporting the fact that we are mental health professionals on school campuses, and we bring more to the table than building schedules, and we are trained in mental health as well. And, you know, we released these California standards for school counselors in our state. And one of the standards is school-based mental health services. And so we have an entire standard out of 6 that talks about, you know, what our role is as a school counselor and in with student mental health specifically. And I know specifically on my end, I have worked at a K through 8 school before this that was the closest elementary school in Stockton to the homeless shelter. So about 10% of our students were homeless. A good chunk of those were living at the shelter. So that's a very, it's a very specific demographic that has a lot of need. And mental health is definitely one of those needs for very different reasons than my current students who are high performing, but these are still Stockton Unified students who are living in poverty as well. So they have the poverty on top of the high performing stress and pressure to go to amazing colleges and all this stuff, which are great goals to go towards. But if you can't see yourself here tomorrow, then those goals don't matter. And so really, like, my big thing is to make sure that my students feel safe and that they feel heard. And I just want to let them know that if I'm the only adult in their life that they can vent and cry to and talk about things outside of their grades, then I'm happy to be that place for them. Because teenagers are still kids and they're still learning how to operate in this world. And I'm just thinking of my student who was in my office yesterday for an hour crying about parental pressure and outside pressure and just all of this pressure that's building up inside of her. And it just being there and simply listening and telling her, like, hey, it's okay to feel A, B, and C. It's okay to feel this way, and just know that you have such a bright future ahead of you because you're an amazing human and blah, blah, blah. But being that person to support their mental health is just, like, some of them don't have anybody. Like this student that I met with literally yesterday, nobody at home is safe for her to talk to. She feels she doesn't want to burden her friends with what she's going through, which we talked about that, but being one person, and it doesn't have to be a school counselor. It can also be a teacher. It can be an admin. It can be whoever that student feels safe with on campus can do wonders for their mental health. And just knowing that they have a person who's going to be cheering them on, who's going to love them no matter what. I tell my students I love them. Like, I'll be like, love ya, see ya. You know, I have a student who now calls my office our office because she eats breakfast in there every day. She's like, someone's in our office.
I'm people, like, yes. Support what they help to create. If they feel like they're part of that office, then that's numbers. Yeah, that makes sense.
So it's just, like you said, Character Strong's ultimate foundation is building relationships, and building relationships goes hand in hand with mental health. And I feel like I'm kind of birdwalking as far as advocating for your role, but I think that school counselors, we are worth so much more than sometimes people think we are, as far as being able to support students through mental health issues. Yeah.
When I think about too, it's like, and you know this very well, but when you think about like what are we doing for students at a tier one level, and we've thought a lot about that as well. It's like, well, how do we address and support mental health from a tier one? Because a lot of times what you might have, and especially having taught at the high school level, I know this very quickly will come from a lot of high school educators, is like, that's not my job. My job is, I don't know how to teach mental health. Don't put that pressure on me. My job is to fill in the blank, right? Math or social or ELA, whatever. But one of the ways in which we've approached that from a tier one level is by putting a focus on something that you mentioned, which is overall well-being. And overall well-being supports overarching mental health. And from a tier one level, what are we doing then across the board to support all students? And then right from there, obviously there's times when students need more, and that could be what we're doing at a tier two or even tier three level. But without a strong tier one, good luck. And so I always think about the incredible role that school counselors play, not only with directly supporting students, as you mentioned, but also a lot of times they are the champion and the lead when it comes to what are we doing around tier one? How are we doing it, right, to support that? And I've always appreciated that as mental health professionals, being that advocate, reminding why it's important, reminding that we could be supporting these greater things. A lot of times we think maybe we're not trained to do, but we are trained to, in a classroom, support relationships, connection, overall well-being, right? And so just even making that connection, I've always, having talked with a lot of schools and a lot of school counselors are our biggest champions to help that, because they are that lead in a building in so many ways. And so just grateful for you know, the profession that you represent and I know are representing in a bigger way. It's a state, you know, being recognized the way we are and being on the board and sharing that. How about that? Anything else? You know, these always go so quickly. We could talk an hour, right, just on this topic. But we, besides saying at the core of our work, it's all about relationships, we also say we need to be reminded more than we need to be taught. Connected to this topic, what's a reminder that you would leave with us today that connects to the topic of advocating for your role as a student mental health professional?
Just a reminder that school counselors are trained in school-based mental health services. And if you weren't, because you've been in the field for a long time, and I know the role has evolved, there are courses out there that you can take. I know CASC has one that is directly related to student mental health and the school counselor's role within it. It's an online course, self-paced, all that good stuff. But just a reminder to never like stop learning as professionals. I feel like we should constantly be learning and being better for our students. And part of that is getting comfortable with the topic of student mental health in schools. And, you know, I think that our students deserve it, and we deserve to be there for our students in that capacity.
Well said. Yeah, I think not only do they deserve it, if and once again, Jordan, you know this and know more intimately than most, right? But if we're not paying attention to student mental health and well-being, we've got big problems, because
100%. It's
very hard to ignore the statistics that are there. And whatever angle you take it, you know, to look at it. But even, I don't think I'm that old, but even I used to, for example, did not have to deal with what our students have to deal with today. And a lot of times you just take something as simple as a phone. And if I was dealing with something difficult socially, at least if I had any form of a supportive home environment and identifying, not all do. But even if I had that, at least it didn't follow me there. And now it follows our students 24 hours a day. And the reality is that that is one of 1,000 plus examples, is another reason why our students feel a different type of pressure, more pressure that connects to that more than so many of us ever did. And so that's why, to go to what you're saying, we got to keep learning, keep growing, because our students are worth it, because they're our future, they're our kids, they're our community, all those different pieces. So thank you for advocating for it. Thank you for the work that you do each and every day. And I'd love to keep this conversation going with you. Maybe it's a few months down the road. Let's jump on again. Let's talk about what's the current state of what we're seeing and what's happening, and especially in the role that you're in representing such a great profession. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. This was such a pleasure. So much fun. Such a good topic. And thank you for your work at Character Strong, because you guys are also doing crazy important work.
Appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Character Strong podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to share on your social media. Please rate, review, and make sure to subscribe for future episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. To learn more about Character Strong and how we're supporting schools, visit characterstrong.com. Thanks for listening, and make it a great day.